This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Yesterday, the Vermont Department of Corrections announced that 85 Vermont prisoners serving their sentences at the Tallahatchie County Correctional Facility in Mississippi have tested positive for COVID-19. The state compelled the Mississippi prison, run by the private prison corporation CoreCivic, to test all the Vermont inmates after six of them tested positive upon returning to Vermont last week. The state says there are currently 219 Vermont prisoners in the Tallahatchie facility, which is in Dutwiler, Mississippi. That's about 40% of the Vermont population there testing positive in just these preliminary results. This comes as Mississippi is experiencing a surge in new cases. According to data from the New York Times, Mississippi is second in the nation for new cases per capita, behind only Florida. And Tallahatchie County, where the prison in question is located, is in the top 10 counties per capita in the country for COVID-19 rates. So what is the state of Vermont going to do about its burden of care for these Vermonters? Joining us with an update and a look forward is Interim Corrections Commissioner Jim Baker. Commissioner Baker, thank you very much for making time for us today.
Good afternoon, Jane. Thank you for having me.
So the six inmates who tested positive at Marble Valley Regional Correctional Facility in Vermont last week, as I understand it, they were coming back from Mississippi, which happens frequently before release. Was that the case for these six people, that they were coming back prior to being released?
That's correct. They're either coming back to start transition planning for reentry into the community, or they were coming back for programming purposes that would prepare them to be released into the community.
So none of these men were beyond their release date yet then? None of them should have been released by today or this week?
That's correct. They're in the process of various stages of moving towards release into the community.
Are you able to tell us the status of any of these six? Are they all doing okay?
Yeah, you know, to be careful about protecting privacy rights around medical, what I can say about the six are that all six of them, as they came back into our system here in Vermont, we followed our well-established protocols, which means they were quarantined upon entry into the facilities. We're tested at day zero, which is their entry point. One of the individuals was presenting some symptoms, but not multiple symptoms, and they would have been tested anyway. So as we talk right now, none of them are displaying any type of symptoms which are causing us concerns.
One Vermonter who remained in Mississippi last week had also been announced as a positive case, and this was prior to the testing of all of the Vermont inmates in Mississippi. What are the circumstances under which that person was tested? Because as I understand it, the six who came back to Vermont were tested in Vermont under Vermont protocol. Why was that gentleman in Mississippi tested?
CoreCivic follows the Mississippi guidelines, which is testing if someone presents with symptoms. So that individual presented with symptoms, and they tested as part of that protocol in Mississippi. That, Jane, combined with within a couple days, the six inmates coming back positive caused us great concern, and we immediately made contact with CoreCivic to start the process of testing all of the inmates at the facilities.
The Vermont inmates?
Correct, all 219.
Were there any issues getting CoreCivic to test all of the Vermont inmates over the last couple of days?
There were several issues. We started this conversation last week, I believe on Thursday. Because they're a private entity, they did not have a relationship with the Mississippi Department of Health. Our Department of Health here, under the leadership of Dr. Levine, provided a contact there so we could get that conversation going. They had limited access to collection kits, so we had to work on that with them. Eventually, what happened is they started collecting samples, sent it off to their private lab, which is in Texas, and we were able to get the Mississippi Department of Health to agree to test at their state lab in Jackson, Mississippi. So all the samples were taken, and ironically, the samples that we have back that are positive came out of the state lab, even though they were 24 hours or so behind collecting the original samples and went to the private lab.
So it sounds like these 85 men who have tested positive so far, that's not out of a total of 219 tests that have come back. How many tests have been actually processed?
All the tests have been processed, sent away to a lab. Again, we're talking about collecting.
Right.
You know, the collection of the sample is
has one been thing. Done. Yeah.
Correct. It's a, you know, the other part of that is the testing at the lab. So we're waiting for the private lab in Texas to get back with the samples that were collected and sent to that lab.
How many were the, how many of those, you know, how many of the 219 were sent there?
You know, the math is not going to add up here because we did have some refusals. So I believe it was somewhere around 86 or so that we're waiting for. You know, again, don't hold me to that because there were some refusals of folks that would not submit to a test.
I see. So when we say 85 people have tested positive, it's not 85 out of 219 because we don't have all of the results back. So it is significantly higher than 40%, perhaps.
As the commissioner, I'm very concerned about the situation in Mississippi. I'm very concerned that those numbers are going to rise. And our focus right now is on the absolute best medical care that we can get to the individuals there.
Yeah, because we... go ahead.
I must say, Jane, that the 85 folks that have tested, we have our medical staff dialed in directly with the medical team on the ground there. None of them are presenting symptoms that are concerning to us right now. But that that does not mean we know from the virus and our experience here in Vermont that those circumstances can change rapidly. And that's why we have set up a system where our medical provider staff here are in direct contact with the medical staff there.
Wow. So given what we know so far, we could be looking at the majority of Vermonters who are serving time in Tallahatchie having an active case right now.
You know, if you do the math, and I think the other important point here is, and you mentioned it in your lead-in, Mississippi is second in the country right now for community spread. Why are the jails in Vermont in such good shape? I'd like to say, you know, hooray to the Department of Corrections, and I do want to call out the staff for all the hard work, but it's the collective work that's been done in Vermont. You know, under the leadership of the governor, we test the suppressor, and a lot of other states are not doing that. So community spread plays a big role in how a facility such as a jail gets affected, nursing homes and other long-term care facilities get affected because of community spread. It's brought into the facilities. And, you know, that's what we believe happened here in Mississippi.
Is that facility in lockdown now? What is happening in that facility to try to protect anyone who does not have COVID-19?
So we have negative tests, and the negative tests have been separated out, and there are 32 negative tests, and they are currently separated out from the rest of the population. The positive tests are in medical isolation. The other folks that we're waiting for are locked down. We're working with them. We developed with the Vermont Department of Health here in Vermont an incredible system of contact tracing. And we're assisting them there today with that contact tracing so we can get a better idea of how to cohort folks that may not have tests back, or even the folks that are negative at this point, what the contact was, because that provides us an insight into the future of what they could go from being negative to positive. So we're doing that contact tracing now and providing the expertise that we've developed here in Vermont. We're sharing that with them right now. We have a staff member dedicated to them, working with them right now to do that contact tracing.
How many people are incarcerated in the Tallahatchie Correctional Facility in total, not just Vermonters?
I don't know that because, you know, I've never been there, but as it's been explained to me countless times, we have our own wing or wherever the terminology there at Tallahatchie is. So I don't know what the rest of the population on the grounds are. But our inmate population does not have interaction with the rest of that population.
So it is possible to quarantine the Vermont prison population in
That's
one
correct.
Area.
That's but correct.
Do you have a sense, though, if the other prisoners in this facility are being tested, given what we're seeing in the Vermont population?
I don't have the answer to that because I've been so focused on, with CoreCivic, making sure that the medical pieces are in place to protect our population. As I've stated to my staff, and I stated pretty clearly to CoreCivic over the weekend, that the people that are there from Vermont are Vermonters. We have a moral and statutory obligation to make sure that we're delivering the best health care we can. And my focus right now is on making sure that happens.
Are staff members who interact with Vermonters moving from unit to unit, or are they also isolated within the Vermont sort of bubble?
The norm is that they would be in the Vermont bubble. But I want to bring out what's the obvious, which I'm sure will be a question of yours, Jane, is that what about staff?
Right.
And I'll say this again. Vermont's jails are as clean as they have been. We had the one situation in Northwest that we learned valuable lessons from. We stopped the spread dead in its tracks as a result of the work that we did with Dr. Levine and his staff at the Vermont Department of Health. And your jail system is only going to be as good as the community spread on the outside. And in this case, I'm concerned about the staff that works at the jail coming from the outside. You know, if you look at the numbers of, you know, you've mentioned that that county's 10th in the country in community spread. And so we pushed pretty hard on CoreCivic over the weekend to test their staff, and they started testing the staff. Because there's no sense in trying to isolate this if the source of the spread is coming from the staff, from the outside into the facility.
Can you explain the refusals you mentioned earlier? So not everybody has agreed to be tested in the Vermont population. And is that's acceptable? They're allowed to not get tested?
We've experienced that. Excuse me. We have experienced that here in Vermont. Mm-hmm. You know, as folks know, we have an ongoing process to test a facility a week. So every 6 weeks, one of our six facilities are going to be tested. And by the way, that will now become the rotation for the Mississippi facility as well. We have run into this. This is not unusual for folks to refuse the testing for a whole host of reasons. Sometimes, you know, we're testing a lot, and it's not pleasant to be tested. And sometimes the inmate population will refuse. Our practice then is to treat it as a medical isolation because we can't take the risk that they're positive and we're not aware of it. So we will use medical isolation in order to deal with that. And we have asked Mississippi CoreCivic to do the same thing to be able to cut down on the risk of any further spread.
So the prison population in Vermont, as you, of course, know, Commissioner Baker, has declined by about 300 since the start of the pandemic. And in a VT Digger piece that came out prior to the knowledge of this outbreak in the prison in Mississippi, Al Cormier, facility executive for the Vermont Department of Corrections, said that in theory, if COVID-19 wasn't creating a need for more spacing in Vermont facilities, all of the Mississippi prisoners could be returned to the state. He's quoted as saying, without COVID, could we? Yes, we probably could. And goes on to say, it wouldn't be the best possible circumstances, but we could. So although Vermont facilities aren't at the same security level necessarily as the prison in Mississippi, it sounds like it would be technically feasible to bring these prisoners back to Vermont. Vermont is currently in the process of negotiating a one-year extension of the contract with CoreCivic, which runs this prison in Mississippi. Is there a possibility, Commissioner Baker, that you can stop negotiations and bring these men back to serve their sentences in Vermont, given the health concerns, the significant health concerns?
I think it would be a big challenge. I think what Executive Cormier was saying is that if you took COVID-19 off the table, we could do that. It would be challenging to do it simply because of some of the challenges we have in our facilities. For example, our mental health population and how we have to manage those inside our facilities. But with COVID-19, it's very difficult. Now, with all that said, right now, as the commissioner, I'm focused on as I said a couple of times in the interview, Jane, I am very focused. My entire focus is on making sure that we've got the medical support to include, by the way, we've done a survey of the hospitals in the area for capacity surge to better understand what they have for ICU beds and respirators and the kind of things that if someone starts developing a drop in O2 saturation, that we when do we move them? What's the plan to move them? What's the ambulance service, so on? What's the closest trauma hospital? We're doing all that work right now. We're focused on that right now. But there's going to have to be a conversation with CoreCivic about these circumstances moving forward as it pertains to our contract. Can we bring people back right now and close out that contract? I think that that is not possible. But I do think that we have to be thinking about, as especially as we start talking about the consequences of the impact of budget as a result of COVID-19, this is all in our radar screen. But right now, I haven't had much time to think about that or discuss that with Secretary Smith. Our focus right now is making sure the absolute best medical care is in place by these folks that have been victimized by the virus.
Yeah, let me ask you one final question about that then, Commissioner Baker. I mean, these are Vermonters in the care and custody of the state of Vermont, even if they're serving sentences in Mississippi. And the state has a burden of care for these people to make sure that they can stay healthy and alive. So how will you meet that burden of care in the short and in the long term?
So as I said, the staff that I have that are in the medical team are in direct conversation. We have a part-time medical director, Dr. Scott Strenio, who's been very much involved in these conversations over the last 2 to 3 days. And we are in the process of having a conversation with a medical firm that would put medical monitors on the ground in Mississippi as eyes and ears for us. One of the things that's been challenging for us with the Mississippi population is because of COVID-19, we haven't had the presence at the facility that we normally had prior to COVID-19. And I'm feeling like we need at least one set of eyes, if not two set of eyes, on exactly what's happening for medical care down there. And I also want to say, Jane, to families that are out there that have loved ones at that facility, I understand my personal responsibility here as the Commissioner of Corrections to their loved ones. And I'm not taking that lightly. And we've set up additional staff to handle any questions that family members have by going to our website. They can click on the family and friends link that's on our website, and they can leave a message. And we bolster staff that manages that now to have direct contact so we can get back to family as quickly as possible so they know what's going on with their loved ones.
Commissioner Baker, I imagine that this is keeping you up at night. Are you confident that the men in Mississippi are being cared for as well as they possibly could be right now?
I feel a lot better now than I did a week ago, Jane. I was directly involved in the conversations with CoreCivic over the weekend, and I think they are pretty clear in understanding where I am as the commissioner about what my expectations are about those folks that we have a statutory and moral obligation take care of.
Jim Baker is the interim commissioner of the Vermont Department of Corrections. I really appreciate you making time for us today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane.
We will also put some information up on our website today for how you can reach out to the Department of Corrections if you have a loved one that you're concerned about and want more information.